I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio 8. And we are happy to welcome for the first time to our studios a guy named Jeffrey Martin from Portland, Oregon, right? You're based there? Is that right? All right. And he's playing tonight at Beener Central in Duluth with local artist Jerry Small, rare solo show for her, and Marcus J. Dandy and The Complete Lack Thereof. And that show starts at 7 o'clock. Well, Jeffrey, we're going to come back and chat a little bit, but what do you want to start with here?
I'll play a song called Man from my most recent album, Dogs in the Daylight. Hide your face from the howling wind. No more crying out. Pick up your gun, leave those you love. Learn to jump at the sound. Go bleed overseas and don't forget to bleed proud. 'Cause you are a man now. You are a man now. You are a man now. Gone back to the house that made you, try to burn it down. Go out walking in your daddy's shoes, they are your shoes now. And feel the weight of the fist that hits you, it's your fault somehow. 'Cause you are a man now. You are a man. You are a man now. Yeah. Build a castle with walls so thick, you will never be found. Take a wife and have some kids, never open your mouth. Go and do like your daddy did, grow old and shut down. 'Cause you are a man now. You are a man now. You are a man now. Go and do like your daddy did, grow old and shut down. 'Cause you are a man now. You are a man now. You are a man now.
That's Jeffrey Martin live from Studio A, and one from his most recent album. And what's that one called again?
It's called Dogs in the Daylight. That album is, that song is called Man.
When did Dogs in the Daylight come out?
It came out a couple years ago now, at the either the beginning of 2015 or the tail end of 2014. I forget.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so it's been out for a little while.
Yeah.
And in your bio, you talk about how you think of yourself as a songwriter first and foremost. And yeah, just kind of listening to that song, very much storytelling. And what inspired that one? And was there anything in particular that inspired that one, or just kind of that general concept of manhood?
I'm turning 32 in December, and so for a while now, actually, when I was writing songs for that album, I hadn't turned 30 yet, but I was quickly approaching it, and it was just on my mind a lot, the kind of experience of being a man in this country and the different ways that plays out for different people. So,
Is that something that you feel particularly in your own life, or were you thinking about other people that you had seen when
That song isn't a story of my life. It's just for a couple of years I was teaching high school English, and so I was encountering all these young men that maybe came from not very supportive homes, but then I could see them kind of making decisions that were going to lead them right back into the same thing they came out of, and kind of that sad loop that gets stuck there sometimes. But.
And you're with them a few hours a day, you know, for a year at a time. And you, you know, do you think about how can I influence that, but how much influence can I really have, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was that something that's that you thought about?
Yeah, I think that's the, like, eternal heartbreak of all teachers is for that couple hours a day, you're there with them, but then you realize there's a lot more time you're not there with them. So,
Okay. So tell me about your background, since you mentioned that you've been a teacher, but you born in Texas, spent time, grew up in Eugene, Oregon, right?
Yeah, lot in Eugene. I went to college in Tacoma and got a degree in English, and then didn't know what to do with that. And that's when I started writing songs and playing out pretty heavily then. And then eventually I went back to school and got my teaching degree. And right at the tail end of that, that school experience, music started to pick up a little bit. And so when I graduated, I just went, started touring. I never really taught full time. And then I found this teaching job a couple years ago and decided to give it a shot and put touring on hold for a while. And it was fantastic. It was really good. But I had to say no to a lot of music. So now I'm back to full time on the road.
So you've kind of made that decision that this is your going to be your main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Until my dream is dead and I'm in the gutter somewhere, I'll crawl back to teaching.
Well, you've been traveling a lot. I was looking at your schedule, and you're heading out this way, and you've been farther east, I think.
I'm heading out on this tour, heading out east right now, so I'll be on the East Coast for a couple of weeks, and then working my way down to Nashville, and then back home. So.
And you've been to Alaska, touring in Alaska this year. Is that something that you do regularly?
I've been up there once before, a couple of years ago. I'd like to do it regularly. It's such a good... And I think that people are so isolated up there, they love any music that comes up. So,
So you got a good response up there. Does it take longer to get to shows there? I mean, are our towns farther apart? I've never been there, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of driving for sure, but it's beautiful. So,
Well, wonderful. So you've been doing this for quite a while now, and you have how many albums? Three albums?
Three.
Okay. So tell me about making your first album. What was your first album, and was it one of those, I need to have something to give to people at shows, or was it I have a really good batch of songs and I want to make sure I get them together?
It was interesting because I hadn't been playing out that long when I recorded my first album. And you can hear it if you go back and listen to it. It's called Gold in the Water, and my playing style and my singing is a lot different than it is now. But I met someone, a friend who is a producer, and he said we gotta record these songs, and so I just kind of let him take the reins, and we just did it in his garage, really simply, with a couple mics, and that was really what. I don't know, the first thing that cemented in my head that this is something I want to do, because I hadn't made plans to record before that. I wasn't thinking about it. It just kind of something that fell into my lap, and then it kind of got the ball rolling.
But. So you were just kind of doing music, but maybe not as seriously before that happened?
Yeah, it didn't occur to me that you could be serious about it. You know, there's a lot of people that play music, and so I was just... in college and then right out of college and playing coffee shops and stuff occasionally, but nothing too serious.
And where in what area? Was it all just various places in the Pacific Northwest? Or?
Well, most of that early stuff was in Seattle and Tacoma. And then actually Josh Ritter came to my college and played a solo show back in 2008 or 2007. And that's what really inspired me, because I'd never really seen a show like that. There was just a singer-songwriter carrying a show for a couple hours all by himself, and it was really, it really kind of shocked me in a good way. But yeah,
because that's a tough thing. You know, there are so many people out there with their guitar, singing their songs. Right. So when somebody stands out like that, what was it about Josh's show? Do you remember?
Well, his songs are so... they're like heavy literature, his songs, and so, and I was getting an English degree at the time, and so I was just steeped in this world of writing and literature, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the the bubblegum stuff of John Mayer and Jack Johnson, some of these kind of, that are really fun to listen to, but they just didn't grab me. And then Josh Ritter got up there and sang these really literary songs that were just mind-blowing to me. And so
that also have a pop sensibility, some of them for
yeah,
sure,
in
his,
yeah.
his writing sometimes. Yeah. But yeah, the words are a little bit more, have more depth to them.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear another one, and then we'll come back and chat some more. What do you want to play for
All right.
us next?
I'll play a... Here's an old one called Build a Home.
Follow this old river down to where the poppies grow. And drink that cool water till I get my fill. And take me out past the mud and rust and all the broken bones. And watch the sun fall down behind the hills. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me wanna sing a song. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me want to build a home. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me want to sing a song. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me want to build a home. Work hard all day, stone by stone for the night to come. There's no sleep like that of tired bones. And rub my hands and whisper to me about tomorrow. About the kids and the house and how we don't have much, but it's enough. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me wanna sing a song. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me wanna build a home. I'm in love with a woman and she makes me wanna sing a song. I'm in love with a woman. I'm in love with a woman. Whoa. I'm in love with a woman.
Jeffrey Martin, live from Studio A. And you said that was an older one. What era are we talking about? First album? Or
It's 2011. That's the EP, so the second one.
Okay. Yeah. And that one seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Just a nice love song. And, you know, when you're a singer-songwriter, how do you approach stuff like that? Because so many, you know, there's so many love songs in the world.
Yeah.
And so do you think about that when you're like, okay, how's this one different? And
no, well, hopefully, I mean, I think the only songs that I sing that you could classify as love songs are songs that I didn't analyze until they were done. You know, so like that song got written in a moment when I just wanted to say that stuff, and I wasn't thinking about the quality of the song as a love song, and those tend to stick around for me, at least. If I set out to write a love song and I'm picking it apart from the beginning, then I get pretty disenchanted right away and let it go. But yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. Are you one of those people that kind of does, well, especially as being an English major, do you have a disciplined writing practice?
No, I wish I did so badly. My writing process is bizarre. I get attached to melodies in my head, and so a lot of times when I'm writing a song, I'll just be plunking around on the guitar, and then I start singing gibberish over it, and I'll record it. And then it might just be a couple weeks of gibberish, and then I'll, there's something in a melody that I feel like melodies have stories behind them already almost. And at that point, I just try and find the words to tell that story, I guess. So.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, you have said that the songwriting part is like kind of the main thing for you. And so that's interesting that it springs from the music.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I thought it might be the other way around.
I wish I was. I wish I could wake up at 6 in the morning every day and write and crank out songs. I don't know. I can't do that yet, at least.
And sometimes it just kind of takes that time. And so do you have to, so you start with the music usually. Yeah. So you kind of, do you have to wait for inspiration for that to happen, or do you just mess it around? And
yeah, just messing around, just playing as often as I can. And it's weird, a lot of times after shows, like I'll go back to the green room after a show and kind of wind down, and then I get hit with a lot of stuff there, you know, kind of post-show inspiration for new sounds and
interesting
stuff. Yeah.
Maybe you've just opened up the channel and
yeah.
And it's ready for more. So you mentioned an EP, so you did an EP and then another album.
So the first album I did was Gold in the Water, and that was a full album. And then I put out an EP about a year later with 6 songs on it, or 7 songs. And then in 2014, this Dogs in the Daylight is a full album with 14 or 15 songs on it. I forget.
And where did you do that one as compared to, you know, the other one you said was kind of a
I did the most recent one in Portland. Right before I did that one, I hopped on with a label there called Fluff and Gravy Records. Some guys that I met at a show at a festival, and they liked my sound, and they run this amazing kind of grassroots label there in Portland. So it's me and a handful of other artists on there, and I did it at their studio there.
Oh, okay. And so and is there more instrumentation? Is it just you?
Who else is on there? Anna Tivell, another amazing songwriter who's on that label, played fiddle and mandolin and sang harmonies all over that one. And there's some drums on a few tracks, and some piano and a trumpet on one of them, I think. But yeah, it's a little more involved.
Do you now, when you're back home, do you get to perform with other people more?
I tour with Anna Tivell as much as I can. Styles go really well together, and so we share tours a lot, and she plays on my stuff and I sing and play on her stuff, so that works out. But yeah, I don't have a working band or anything back home. It's too hard to keep people employed. But
do you have people that will come up and play with shows?
Or, yeah, back in Portland, yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that must be fun. Where do you play in Portland? What are the spots for your
kind
of music?
My favorite place to play in Portland is probably Alberta Street Pub. It got a facelift a couple years ago, and I think it's the best sounding room in Portland, better than some of the bigger rooms like Mississippi Studios or even the Doug Fir. I think it sounds better than those two. So yeah,
is it a good listening room? Or?
It is a really good listening room. Yeah.
Are those hard to find, or are they pretty easy to find? Or
they're not all over. There's a handful of them in Portland that are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like most cities, you know, they're few and far between compared to the bar scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was reading something about, like, when you were growing up, some of the artists that you were drawn to. And I kind of smiled because you're listening to people like John Gorka and Leo Kottke as a young guy, which isn't the typical thing that you would expect people.
Tell me about it. It wasn't very cool with my friends that I was. That was because my dad, he was really heavy into songwriting when I was growing up, and or lyric-based songs, I guess. And so he, when we were living in Eugene, it was kind of this hot spot for a while. A lot of those songwriters were touring through all the time. So Gorka came through, and Lucy Kaplansky and Kottke came through.
And that would have been a really prime time for that kind of music as well, because, you know, in the 90s, there really was this, you know, the Boston music scene, and those people were traveling around. And
yeah, it was really interesting. I think I didn't fully appreciate it until I got a little older. I loved doing it with my dad and going out to those shows, but I didn't really realize what that did to me. To, you know, I would, at night when I was going to bed, I'd be listening to, you know, the stories that John Gorka or Harry Chapin would tell, you know, and then I wouldn't have, I would have like nothing in common with kids at school that were listening to MTV's like latest hits. And but it just kind of ingrained in me this love of stories. Yeah.
And John Gorka is, you know, because he lives just down the road in the Twin Cities area, so we've had him in the studios, yeah. And just wonderful songwriter.
Yeah,
he's amazing. And a heck of a fella too.
Yeah.
Nice guy. Well, what do you want to wrap up with here, Jeffrey?
I'll play a new one. This is unrecorded so far, but I think I'm going to do another album this winter. It's called Poor Man. He's an asphalt man, just like his daddy. 10-hour days of rolling tar buys a double wide. Down an old dirt road outside the city, on the edge of a muddy creek in the county line. Oh, Maggie, keep an eye on the water line. Car won't start and the money never comes in on time. Oh, Maggie, keep an eye on the water line. I feel it moving. He got a baby on the way, but his wife still feels empty. Says it's hard to feel pretty when they're always counting dimes. He sits up nights in the kitchen in the dark when it's raining, and he can't sleep for the sound pounding in his mind. Oh, Maggie, keep an eye on the water line. Car won't start and the money never comes in on time. Oh, Maggie, keep an eye on the water line. I feel it moving. I'm not a bad man, I'm a poor man. I'm not a bad, I'm a poor man. I'm not a bad man, I'm a poor man. Sinking. I'm not a bad man, I'm a poor man. I'm not a bad man, I'm a poor man. I'm not a bad man, I'm a poor man. Sinking.
Jeffrey Martin, live from Studio A, and a new one that you said you might be recording this winter?
Yeah, hopefully.
You have a whole batch of songs ready already, or you're still...
I do.
Gathering them up.
I just need to find the time to do another project, yeah.
So, and you have plans where you're going to do it this time? And
I don't know. I need to figure that out. All I know right now is that I wrap up this tour mid-November. I'll be back home, and then I'm not going to go out again until mid-February. So,
that should give you a little time. Yeah. You said you're heading out east. Are there any new places that you're hitting this time around?
A bunch, actually. I haven't played a lot of music on the East Coast, so I can't think of them all right now. But if you go to my website, jeffreymartinmusic.com, it's all there.
Mm-hmm. And what's it like, you know, coming into a new venue for the first time?
It's kind of freeing for me. If it's a good venue, it's my favorite thing because nobody knows me. and my parents aren't out there somewhere. So I can be whoever I want on stage. It's nice.
Do they come to your shows?
They
Portland?
Do. They're fantastic. They come to a lot of shows. Yeah.
But it's you know, I've talked to people about that, both people from here and from other places, about, you know, what it's like to play at home, where everybody knows you and they might know what some of the songs are about, versus playing elsewhere. So it's a little freeing for you to be elsewhere. It sounds like.
Yeah.
But I bet they're awfully proud of you.
Yeah, they are. They're really supportive. It's great.
Well, and you said your dad was really a fan of songwriting. Yeah. So does he ever give you tips on your, say, you know, that was a good one, or, you know, you could change that. Does he ever do any of that stuff?
They don't ever give me, like, constructive criticism. Maybe just the ones that they don't comment on, I pick up that they're not as big of fans as those. But they do say often that they're really, really thankful that I didn't fall in love with the type of music that they hate. So it's nice for them.
They probably still would have been at the shows, but they wouldn't have enjoyed it quite as much. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. It's really been a pleasure meeting you this afternoon. That is Jeffrey Martin. He is playing tonight, show at Beener Central in Duluth, along with local artist Jerry Small and also Marcus J. Dandy and The Complete Lack Thereof. That show starts at 7 o'clock. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Aaron Welch and Cheyenne Vavrina. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.